This episode is sponsored by SmartVestor. Connect with an investing pro for free at RamseySolutions.com/invest. You're listening to Ramsey Everyday Millionaires, where we talk investing, retirement, building wealth, and outrageous generosity.
Al is in Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
And just to let you know, I am a long, long time listener, and this is my first time ever to call.
Well, we're honored. How can we help you today, sir?
I'm honored too. So, okay. So question is, this is about paying off mortgage versus leaving the money in investment.
Mm-hmm.
The mortgage is about $188,000, mm-hmm, at a 3.375 interest.
Mm-hmm.
We owe 26 more years on it,
mm-hmm,
and I am 65 years. Well, I'll be 65 in May.
Mm-hmm.
The investments are roughly $600,000, making about anywhere from, say, 6 to 8%.
Mm-hmm.
A whole bunch of mutual funds based on what you told me over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my question, really, is do I go ahead and pay off the mortgage, which would then bring the investments down after paying taxes in the range of, say, 360?
Yeah.
What do you say?
Be about 400. Yeah. Well, the way I do these things is I reverse engineer it and then I see how that feels. Let's pretend that you had a debt free house and $400,000 in investments.
Okay.
Would you go borrow $188,000 at set interest rate to put more in your investments? I wouldn't.
Okay.
I wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't.
That wakes me up when I look at it that way. And all that is the exact same thing, but backwards, right?
Right, right.
So the only thing that gives me a little bit of pause is if you told me you had 600 left over or 800 left over, I'd go in a heartbeat, go do it. 400 is kind of like, it's a lot, and you've done really well, but you're going to have to be careful to not, you know, go on a spending spree or something, which I don't think you're going to do. It doesn't sound like you.
No. And I agree with you that 400 would be on that edge.
Yeah.
Because I've ran the retirement calculators, including yours,
mm-hmm,
and it puts me on the edge.
Yeah. It, with no house payment, I mean, I always use just on the high side, 8% of the nest egg. And so, you know, that's what, what does that come out? $32,000 a year, right?
Yep.
$320,000. Yeah, $32,000 a year. So, you know, you got $2,500 a month coming in plus Social Security. Do you have any other money coming in?
As a revenue stream, no.
Okay.
We bring in about 118 gross per year right now.
Working. You're still working.
Yes, I'm still working.
Yeah, okay. All right. But I mean, if you retired, you'd be on 8% of that max of your nest egg with no payments in the world plus Social Security, right? So you'd
correct.
You'd have about half what you got now coming in, but you'd have no house payment. And you'd not be, but of course, the longer you work, the more we change that 400. That does change the equation.
That's correct. Yeah.
You know,
plus it'll change the Social Security.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, not enough to worry about. I wouldn't keep working for that. But I like working because I like accomplishing things. I like helping people. I like the sense of traction that it gives me. And I don't mind making money. I like doing that, too. So as long as you're doing that, I think I'd keep going and I'd pay it off today.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something to be said to not retire. Everybody thinks you have to retire. You don't have to retire.
No. In fact, you know, retirement can look however you want it to. You want to work 20 hours a week, 25 hours a week, doing something that keeps you mentally and emotionally
active.
I'm
not talking about wood shop.
No, you don't have to.
About go do something in your career field, in your discipline where you make some bank.
Yeah, and you're doing something
you enjoy.
You
might do business coaching and make more in 20 hours than you're making now.
Right, yep.
I mean, something high, with a high level of sophistication. I mean, when sometimes people say, you know, I'm going to be a fishing guy. That's not what I'm talking about.
No, listen, I just read an article last week that hiring managers with the wave of Gen Z coming into the workforce, they are actively trying to hire older people. The ageism that has been in existence for a while is dissipating. If you're in your 60s, you got some skill and experience, you're a great locker room presence for hiring managers. They'll hire you now. So to your point, you can stay active longer and work and do really well because companies are looking for that older, seasoned veteran, if you want to use that football analogy or basketball analogy.
I have not heard that, but I've got an instant theory that pops into my head.
What's your thought?
Well, the thing that I'm hearing all over the place in the leadership circles that I'm running in and where I'm doing entree leadership stuff is that Gen Z is highly skilled in their disciplines, but a lot of them have soft skill problems with relational skills.
That's correct.
And putting that old dog in there that's very relational, almost to mentor and train just by their mere presence, seems to make a lot of sense.
It does, and it also squares with the data that Gen Z, over, I want to say about 52% of Gen Z report saying they want to actually work in the office because they want to be mentored. Keep in mind, one of the effects of this generation, of the helicopter parents, Gen X and millennial parents, is that these kids have been guided and helicoptered to the point that now when they get in the real world, they actually are craving the good ones with character, not the ones we see on TikTok. They're craving some older mentorship in the office. They want that older guy.
The tough old coach.
They do. Someone they feel safe with. Hey, this old guy is going to take care of me and show me the ropes.
He loves me, but he's going to bust me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they feel security in that someone's going to show me what to do. So there are some benefits. My point here to our greater audience is don't assume that your value drops in your 60s. The data says otherwise.
That's interesting. And certainly that's true for Al. We didn't stay with Al longer to find out what his actual career is, but
right.
But he's obviously making some money, six figures coming into the house. So.
And I was also going to ask you, depending on how much his house is worth, does that change your advice there on that?
No, because here's the thing. The largest line item, folks, in your budget, in any time in your life, the most expensive item in your budget is housing.
Mm-hmm.
Your biggest expense. Even if your house is paid for, it's still your biggest expense with taxes, insurance, and maintenance, right? So it's still housing is your biggest expense. When you can do away with the payment part of that expense, it stabilizes your golden years. When you go from 60 to 90, that 30-year period of time with no house payment, with that kind of stability, it changes your emotional state. And therefore, it actually affects your health.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not, as Dr. John Deloney says, you're not carrying around that stress between your shoulder blades, which debt is, stress between your shoulder blades. Whether you actually remember it's there or not, you don't.
Right. And I like that. And this is safe money, too, because as they get older, maybe they need to go into some assisted care. That house is sitting there. That's money waiting for them to cash out.
Yeah. And it is one of the two things that we see with the people that have the first $1 to $5 million. Of net worth, your first $1 million up to your first $5 million is a paid for house and a big old 401k. And he's got both.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
Or he's about to have both if he does that. So Al's done a really good job.
Yeah.
He's in the top probably 4 or 5% of Americans financially in his situation. He's done excellent work. And even at that, we're saying, oh, I wish it was a little bit more.
Sure.
You know, but he's making $100 a year. So you start throwing. Load that 401k up, load the IRAs up, anything else you can load up for the next, and work 3 more years, 4 more years?
Yeah.
That all of a sudden, then that becomes a no-brainer, right? That changes everything. If you had to retire today on that, that's when it kind of gives you, I want to take a little bit of a breath there.
Right.
Pretty crazy. Mm. But isn't that a wonderful thing, though, that that guy has been listening all those years to us and has gone and done the stuff and is... in really, really good shape. Congratulations, sir. Very proud of you. Very, very, very well done. And, you just don't want to get to retirement, and the only thing you have is the government, which is well known for its ability to handle money, is going to take care of me. That's a pretty dumb idea. That's the definition of insanity.
Thanks for tuning in to Ramsey Everyday Millionaires. To learn more about how to plan for retirement, visit RamseySolutions.com/retire or click the link in the show notes. Ramsey Solutions is a paid non-client promoter of participating pros. Learn more at RamseySolutions.com/smartvestor.